Hey guys, welcome back to the Stormforce Fitness Show with me, John, the Top. Today we're going to be talking about how to choose the right diet for you. We all know by now that we need to be following a good nutrition plan. We know roughly about calories and protein and all this kind of stuff, but how do we put it together? I think the other thing we know is if you spend more than about 30 seconds on the internet looking up diets, you're going to come up with all sorts of conflicting information. You're going to get one person saying this, one person saying that, and they both seem to have really good results, but they're arguing between them, so you try maybe a bit of both. You know, it kind of makes sense. If A is good and B is good, what if I do A, B? And then you rapidly find that that doesn't actually work. So that's the first thing. When we're talking about things on the internet, what we tend to get is people who have a particular system. Like, I'm the keto guy, I'm the high carb diet, happens in training as well. You know, it's the kettlebell guy and the bodyweight guy. And the thing is that it's not necessarily true that one person is wrong. You can have that this person is right and this person is right. So what we need to get you to do is choose the right? So it's not, like I said, it's not like this is right, this is wrong, so go with this one. It might be that this is right in this situation, this is right in this situation. So, like a lot of things, and again, I mentioned training again, you need to decide which is the right for you, based on your situation. So we come back to this idea of accountability. You've got to get an idea of what the key things are, what the non-negotiables are, like what has to be in place in your nutrition plan to get results. And then you have to take some responsibility for figuring out how you're going to fit this in, how it fits your lifestyle. Because everybody is different. Somebody can eat like one meal a day, someone can eat six meals a day, and they can both get really good results. But you're not going to get good results if you are unable to apply this nutrition plan for weeks on end and hopefully months on end and ultimately your entire life. You know, that doesn't mean you need to be on a diet all your life. It just means you need to find a nutrition strategy, is probably a better word, that you can apply most of the time. So 90 to 95% of the time, and then obviously you get your opportunities to go out for a meal, have a few drinks, you know, when you're on holiday, take a break from that strategy maybe, but the key things are nearly always in place. And really that is what is gonna get you amazing results. So the first thing I wanna try and get you away from is getting pushed and pulled around the internet by all of this crazy stuff. Now, of course, there are some people on the internet who are full of shit. So, you know, anybody who is deliberately really trying to enforce one particular way of doing things, they're normally the people that you need to avoid. So somebody who's constantly pushing detox and cleansing diets and things like that, like it's absolute crap. Your body knows how to cleanse itself. Your role is more about just stopping putting in the crap that makes it harder and harder to do that. Okay, you don't need to be taking special pills and potions to somehow sort of do magic to your metabolism and magically cleanse the body as if you drink this for a couple of days and now everything is perfectly clean inside yourself. You just don't need to do that stuff. So you don't need to go through these sort of crazy detoxes where you're forcing yourself and just like, ugh, no energy, but I have to do this to cleanse myself, then I can lose weight. Okay, it just doesn't work like that. So what I'm going to do in this episode is take you through a step-by-step guide that you can actually work your way through and find the right nutrition plan for you. So again, I'm going to try not to do what most people on the internet do and say you should do it this way. Okay, I'm going to give you like the non-negotiables, the things that need to be present within that plan. And then again, I'm going to hand it over to you and say go away and figure out the rest around your lifestyle, what works for you. You know, some people say I'm starving when I wake up, I need to have breakfast. Other people can't even sort of handle the idea of breakfast. So there are some things that, you know, if somebody has been ill or there's sort of kind of something wrong hormonally, that can affect those things. But again, what I want to do is say to you that most of the time you can just follow these steps and it will work, like nearly all of the time. Okay, the chance of you being in that sort of percentage where you need more sort of medical intervention and so on is actually pretty small. So the best thing for you to do is try it on your own, follow these steps, and of course, if things still are just absolutely stuck, then you need to seek further advice. So Number one that I like to get people to do is a 7-day calorie count. So obviously this should be done on a standard week. Don't just do it when you're, you know, you've got a week off from work. Now I'll do it, because the chances are you're not eating like you normally do. This first stage is more about awareness, because a lot of people, it's kind of a well-known thing in the fitness industry that a lot of people overestimate how many calories they burn when they're exercising and underestimate how many calories that they consume on a daily basis. So this is about awareness and figuring out where you're at right now. So we're going to see, maybe you eat roughly the same amount of calories every day. A more likely scenario is that we're going to see you maybe eat a certain amount of calories pretty much Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Friday night to Sunday night, the world falls apart and you're sort of eating an extra 1,000 calories, and of course drinking extra calories, they count as well. So it just starts to give you an idea how far off you are. So obviously, if you are miles off from where you need to be, and we'll talk about that in a second, then we've got to make some pretty big adjustments. But what might be the case is you find that actually you're only, say, 300 calories over where you need to be to start losing body fat. So we don't need to make these sort of huge changes. And that's important, because the bigger the change we make, the more chance there is it's going to be sort of disruptive and you're like, whoa, hang on, this is too much for me. What we want to do is almost make as little change as possible, but ones that sort of start bringing results. It's what we call sort of hormesis or hormetic stress, which basically means whether it comes to training or nutrition or mindset changes, lifestyle changes, we need enough of a change to cause a result, cause an adaptation, but not so much that it causes panic. In terms of training, maybe it causes injury, or it causes you to be like so sore that you can't move for a week. It needs to be enough to cause that change, but not enough to kind of push you away from it. So we do that 7-day calorie count. The way to do that is, obviously, if you're eating packaged food, you can work it out pretty easily. If you are preparing food and you're not quite sure, then again, you're gonna have to get some scales out. It really doesn't take much time to do. Let's say I have this much protein, stick it on the scales, see how much it weighs, and then put it into an app. There's loads of apps these days. I'm kind of a bit old school. I remember MyFitnessPal has always been the one, it was basically the only one at first. Very simple, you just plug in how much you ate and what the food was, and the app will pump out how many calories you've eaten. So again, might seem like a little bit of an inconvenience, but what's more of an inconvenience is being overweight and tired and annoyed at your body for the rest of your life, okay? It doesn't take too long to do this, and you only have to do it for 7 days. Okay, we're trying to get that awareness. Okay, so 7-day calorie count. I say 7 days because I need you to include the weekend. Okay, don't just do it Monday to Friday and assume you now have a good idea, because it might be the weekend that's completely screwing things up. Funnily enough, some people go the other way. When it's the weekend, they're a bit more chilled out and they've got more time. Their diet's on point, and then Monday to Friday, they're grabbing whatever's available, go to the shop, you know, packet of sandwiches, bit of pasta, bacon roll. So again, it's important one way or another to do weekdays and weekend. Okay, number two. So once we've done that, we need to get an understanding of what proteins, fats, and carbohydrates are. So I'm not going to go into that here because, again, it's a very big topic, but that's just more of a learning task for you to do. Maybe you can do it while you're doing your 7-day calorie count, because then the next step will start to make more sense. So learn what proteins are, what foods are sort of high in protein, same with fats, and same with carbohydrates. So again, you've probably got a good idea. Like just a quick kind of basic view would be proteins. Typically we think of sort of meat and fish and poultry. Obviously there are proteins in other things, but then they also come packaged with more fats and carbohydrates. So if you're looking for sort of lean proteins, high in protein and low in anything else, we're going to be talking, like I said, meat, fish, poultry, and we can include like whey protein supplements in that as well. Fats, we talk about good fats and bad fats. Not quite that simple, but generally we're looking at fats being things like avocados, olive oil, olives themselves, coconut products. We can look at things like butter as well. Again, it's not a problem to have butter if you're not having too much. So those are just quick examples of things that have got fats in. Again, there's plenty of others. And then carbohydrates, probably what most people tend to know about. We're talking things like oats and bread, pastas, rice, and then when we talk about simple carbs, so those would be sort of our complex carbohydrates. Simple carbohydrates, we're talking more like sugars. You know, and again, those tend to be the sort of the carbs that you don't really want to have too much of, very sugary, they don't fill you up, and people tend to overeat. So very quick overview, but like I said, go and do your own research just so you start to understand what these foods are. So now we've done our calorie count and we understand a bit more about the different what we call macronutrients, protein, fats and carbs, then we need to get a calculation of what your approximate target should be. Now typically if I'm working with a client, I have a spreadsheet and a calculator I use where we get their weight and body fat, we plug that into the spreadsheet, and we're going to first of all get an idea of what their base metabolic rate is. So essentially that is, if I lay in my bed all day and did absolutely nothing and didn't really move, I'm still going to burn X amount of calories because my heart needs energy, my brain is using energy to think, my lungs are working. So I'm still, that's kind of my base metabolic rate. If I do nothing else with my day other than just exist, then I will still need a certain amount of calories. Then we're going to put in a lifestyle factor. So if you take me, John, who's got a desk job and I sit here doing not a lot all day, and then you take John's twin brother, who's exactly the same in every single way, except he works on a building site, John's twin is going to burn a lot more calories because of that lifestyle factor compared to John here sat at the desk. So we factor in that, and then we're going to factor in exercise as well. Again, it should be fairly obvious, if I'm training twice a day as a professional athlete or I'm training twice a week, then obviously that sort of multiple is going to be higher for the person who's training more. So that is how I would normally do it with a client. However, I appreciate you sort of probably don't have access to that spreadsheet, you're not quite sure how to do that. So we can keep this actually very simple and it will be as accurate as it needs to be right now, where if we take your weight in kilos and we multiply it by 22, or in pounds, if you weigh yourself in pounds, multiply it by 10, then we're going to have a very good guide as to what your starting calories should be. Okay, so weight in kilos, just for ease of numbers, if I weigh 100 kilos, I will start at 100 times 22, 2,200 calories. That's a really good start point. Okay, and again, get an appreciation for the fact that it's hard to ever be totally exact unless you've got like a really good science lab and you can test this perfectly. So often an educated guess, if you have a pretty average life, is a good place to start. But again, this is where personal responsibility comes in, because you then need to start asking yourself some questions, which we'll come to in a second, in terms of, am I at the right level? But just before we get to that, you also need to calculate protein levels. So calculate the calories you need based on, like I say, about 22 calories per kilo or 10 calories per pound. And then we're going to calculate protein intake. So it's really important we get the calories in the right place and the protein. Again, without going into it too much, we need to ensure protein levels are up so we build or at least maintain lean muscle whilst we're trying to kind of lose body fat on this diet. Okay, what we don't want to do is lose fat and be losing muscle. All you're going to end up being is like a smaller version of yourself, which might sound good, but you're not really going to have any shape. You're going to feel lethargic. And perhaps more crucially, even if we're just thinking about body fat and fat loss, your metabolic rate will start to slow down if you are losing muscle. So we should always be looking to protect as much muscle as we can when we're losing body fat. Okay, that's absolutely crucial. And the way we do that is to make sure our protein intake is up enough. So again, a good guide for that is about sort of 2 to 2.5 grams per kilo of body weight. Okay, so again, if you're more muscular, you're gonna wanna go at the higher end. If you're not particularly muscular, you can probably stick at the lower end. So let's say, again, for ease of numbers, 2 grams per kilo. Remember, I'm 100 kilos, I'm gonna want about 200 grams of protein per day. Okay, again, if you're going by pound, go on about 1 gram per pound. And a lot of people go, oh, that sounds a lot. Yeah, you're right, it's probably more than you're eating, which is probably why you're not in the shape you want to be. So we need to increase protein and make sure calories are in the right place. So we could argue details about what I've just said there, but ultimately for most people, that will work. Okay, so we said calories, about 22 calories per kilo. And then within that, your protein intake should be about 2 to 2.5 grams per kilo. Okay, that is a very, very good place to start if you can do that for sort of 90 to 95% of your week. So, is that all you need to do? Are you set for life? Well, probably not, because again, like we said, we've got to think first of all about how are we going to fit this in. I know how many calories I need to eat per day, and I know how much protein I need to eat. And what I should say is the rest of it in terms of fats and carbs, don't worry about it too much for now. Okay, get started. If you get calories and protein in place, the fat carb ratio really isn't worth worrying about. Okay, keep it simple. Make sure you're nailing the calories and protein for weeks on end, and I guarantee you will start to see results. So what we need to then decide is, well, I don't know, how many meals should I eat? Because some people talk about fasting, some people say you should eat 6 meals a day. Again, don't make it too complicated. Okay, I know people who eat sort of one big meal in the evening and nibble in the day, what we call sort of warrior diet style. I know people who eat 6 times a day, they all get results. So again, which right is right for you? A lot of that will depend on, do you like to eat breakfast? Do you like to eat more often? Does it, you know, again, it's a lot of this is a mental thing. Does it feel better to you to eat every few hours? You don't like that gap in the middle? It's up to you. You know, if you find your energy levels go up and down throughout the day, probably better to spread things out a little bit. So we could say 6 meals a day, we could say 3 meals a day with a little snack in between. Just remember the snacks count. It's not like you just count the calories in your meals. If you're busy throughout the day, constantly rushing around and stopping for eating is difficult, then you might just want to almost like nibble and snack through the day, and then in the evening you have that bigger meal. We call it the warrior diet style because it's a bit like the warriors used to, you know, they were busy in the day doing stuff, fighting, building things, hunter-gatherer lifestyle. They'd nibble through the day, maybe sort of nuts and a bit of fruit, and then in the evening, sit down and eat. So again, at this stage, there isn't necessarily a right. There's a right. Okay, which one is the right for you? Now, once we know how many times we want to eat per day, we can create that plan. Okay, so we know how many calories we need to eat, we know how much protein we need to eat, and we're going to spread that across the meals. So again, to keep it simple, if I know I need to eat, let's say 2,100 calories per day, and I need to eat 200 grams of protein, then I'm going to split that over my 3 meals. So I'm going to want 700 calories each meal, and I'm going to want about, what do we say, 200, so roughly 65, 70 grams of protein at each meal. There we go. Now, again, personal responsibility. You need to go and create that plan, decide on the foods you like. Again, this is going to be a lot easier if you choose foods you like. Put that into MyFitnessPal or another app, and you can just play with the amounts until you hit 700 calories and, what do we say, 65, 70 grams of protein. Again, might sound like a bit of a ball ache, but it's really not. If you just get into the app, move things around a little bit and create that plan, once it's done, it's done. Okay, chances are you probably eat roughly the same things every day anyway. We're just now making sure that the things you are eating are the things that are going to deliver results. Okay, so build out that plan. You can always do it for 4 weeks, come back and change it again. But once you've done it once, you never really have to change it that much. Obviously, if you lose a lot of weight, you know, if you're really overweight, then things are going to move as you go. So you just come back and do this process again. But realistically, you're never going to have to change it that much. Okay, so this is a very, very, very valuable task to do, and then it's just a case of little tweaks along the way. So we've created the plan. Now, what I want you to do is plan in like a free meal. At first, just have sort of one meal a week where you can pretty much have whatever you want. Again, don't be an idiot with it. Don't be having like, right, I'm going to have fish and three lots of fish and chips and 2 tubs of ice cream and then 2 chocolate bars afterwards. If you're needing to do that, again, there's something we need to talk about up here, or maybe you're depriving yourself too much in the week, but it's really not a problem to have a meal off. You know, fish and chips, a couple of glasses of wine, not a problem if you're doing all the other stuff and you're creating a good calorie deficit for the rest of the week. Okay, so that is really all you need to do at this point. So then what we have to do, just to take you further down the line, is look and go, okay, well, am I losing 0.5 kilo to 1 kilo of body fat per week? Okay, am I maintaining muscle? Do I have the energy I want? Again, a lot of people, it's not that hard to just drop your calories. If you can bear it, drop your calories down, you start to lose weight. But you might be losing muscle, you're going, oh God, I can't even bear the thought of going to the gym because I've got no energy. So is this sustainable? Because if it's not, what are you doing it for? You lose a couple of kilos over a month, great, well done you, and then it's so unbearable, you go back to doing exactly what you were before. You can't bank this stuff, okay? You can't just lose weight for a month and then go, right, I'm gonna set this in place and then I'll go and eat whatever I want and magically your body stays as it is. It just doesn't work like that. I wish it did. I really wish it did. So ask yourself those questions. Am I losing fat? Am I maintaining muscle? Obviously, if you can get an accurate body composition scan done, then you can start to answer those questions more easily. You know, if you're just losing scale weight, doesn't answer that question. Okay, but you need to ask yourself these questions. If you're losing weight steadily at a nice rate, about half a kilo to a kilo, depending where you're starting, then you're in a good place. Okay, don't get obsessed with, oh, but I heard someone did this other diet and lost like 10 pounds in a week. Most of that will be water weight. The actual fat loss probably isn't any greater than what you're doing there. So again, try and get your head out of what you sort of hear on the internet. Okay, so answer those questions. If the answer is yes, I am losing the body fat I want to lose, yes, I am maintaining muscle, yes, I have enough energy to enjoy exercise and train hard, and yes, this is sustainable, then there we go. Keep doing what you're doing. That's all there is to it. Don't get drawn into, oh, and then someone else is doing this and someone else is doing that. This is about creating, taking the non-negotiables and creating the nutrition strategy that works for you. Now, I'm gonna drift into some of the more advanced stuff, some questions that might need to be asked, they might not need to be asked. Okay, so again, don't feel like you need to get ahead of yourself because it's better. I've written about this in my new book, The Secrets of Showing Up. Sometimes more isn't better. If you've got something that's working for you, just keep doing it until it doesn't work anymore. Okay, if you try and go more advanced, if you try and make it more complicated, often that's what pulls all of this down because you feel like you should be doing that stuff. And because you can't do it, you go, nah, well, might as well not do any of it. It's like, what are you doing? You were making great progress. You were getting good results before. Okay, just because they weren't maybe matching what this guru said on the internet, again, probably lying. Even if they weren't lying, it doesn't matter. You were doing something that was working well. You know, if you only lose half a kilo a week and you do that for 20 weeks, you're 10 kilos of body fat less. You're gonna look a completely different person. Okay, but the point is you stuck with it and now you've got a sustainable life. So I'm gonna go into this stuff on the condition that you understand you might not need to do it. So don't do it if it makes things worse and it breaks things down. So number one is thinking about carb cycling. So what we might say here is, okay, I'm only gonna eat carbohydrates in the meal before I do intense training. So maybe you've got a boot camp session coming up, you got CrossFit, whatever it is you do, you know it's gonna be an intense session, you know you're gonna need some carbohydrates to get through that. Okay, intense exercise is fueled by carbohydrates. Again, why I don't like full keto diets. And this is why we meet somewhere in the middle. So you're almost like teaching your body, it's not really the right phrase, but your body learns to run on proteins, fats, and you know, have some vegetables, a little bit of carbohydrates in there, but ultimately proteins, fats, and veg for most of your meals. And then you keep the carbohydrates to just before training. So you fuel up for training, you can train hard, and then the rest of the time you go back to protein, fats, and vegetables. That's a really good technique for a lot of people. We also start thinking about, should we have like a high carb day? Now again, like I said, this is getting more advanced, don't get too caught up on it, but what we find is, if you are very overweight, then you wanna stick with what I said to you earlier, have that free meal. The reason we do that, it's more psychological than anything. You know, if someone says to you, right, you're on a diet, you're not allowed to eat chips or pizza or the things you like ever, immediately we put ourselves on the back foot. It's like, oh my God, what? So I can just never have the things I like. Again, chance of sustainability is suddenly a lot lower. So it's not that you need to have that kind of free meal, because again, if you're overweight, you're carrying a lot of energy there. It's not like you really need it for hormonal reasons. It's more psychological. Now, if you are quite lean already, you know, so I'm talking for guys maybe sort of 12 to 15% and you're wanting to drift down to single digits. Women generally I say around the sort of 20, 23% mark, then having sort of a higher carb day every 3 or 4 days works quite well. So I might go, say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm in quite an aggressive calorie deficit because I want to lose body fat. Thursday, I have a higher carb day. Again, I'm not going stupid. I'm simply elevating my calories and my carbohydrates. Then I'm going to go, well, we're on Thursday, so maybe Friday, Saturday, Sunday, again, into my calorie deficit, then Monday up again. So it's almost like 3 days, one day. 3 days, one day. That tends to work very well for people who are leaner because, again, we're not carrying sort of a lot of energy in terms of body fat. So if we try and constantly be in a low calorie place, again, start to feel not very good, start to get very miserable, and hormonally it can start to cause issues and things start to change. We're almost like sort of tricking our body, if that's the right phrase. Low calorie days, higher calorie day. Generally it makes sense, just up your carbohydrates. Again, makes you feel good, you have that carb day, you look forward to it. So again, part of it is psychological. So we said if you're very overweight, you're probably going to want to go on sort of just one meal for a, like I said, a kind of psychological boost. If you're quite lean already, generally every 3 to 4 days, we have that sort of higher calorie situation. What about if you're somewhere in the middle where you're a bit overweight, but you're not, you know, obese or anything like that? Then generally I like every 7th day. Okay, it's almost like God's day. Yee, Sabbath, you get to eat carbohydrate. All right, so one day a week, doesn't really matter when it is, but again, I like this from a social perspective. So we can go, all right, on a Saturday, I like to go out for brunch with the girls, I like to go, you know, I'm maybe having lunch with my family. In the evening, I like to have my takeaway, you know, a couple of glasses of wine. It works socially. So we're getting our calorie deficit in, we're getting the results we want, we also get to have a social life. Again, you just have to learn to control it. Don't go stupid, don't go over the top. Generally, again, we're talking about if we know our maintenance calories, the calories that will keep us where we are, we've got the calorie deficit most of the time, we're just going to go like maybe 10% over maintenance as a maximum, and then we're back on it. Okay, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm in my calorie deficit. Saturday, have a bit more of a free day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, back on it. Okay, so basically 6 days in the deficit, 1 day in a surplus. Okay, so again, little bit more advanced on that, but once you do it, once you have that plan written down and you know what you're doing, it's actually super easy. 6 days on my plan, day off. 6 days on my plan, day off. You know, again, not that difficult to do. Okay, last couple of things is in terms of the long term. First of all, we talk about scheduling in a diet break. Again, if you're quite lean already, generally 4 weeks is probably going to be enough. And then you have a week where, again, we don't go stupid. We're just not really thinking about it so much. Okay, obviously, if you're trying to get ready for a photo shoot or something in 3 months, might be a little bit different. You're going to have to knuckle down and, you know, that's the goal you're giving yourself. But if we're talking about someone who just wants to lose weight, but no sort of specific deadline, just looking to create a lifestyle, then that might work well. Generally, I think 12 weeks is about enough. Okay, following a kind of a strict plan, do it for 12 weeks, maybe have a week or two off. Maybe that's your holiday, you're actually going away and you don't have to think about this stuff. Again, we've got to find this balance between results and living life. So again, it also helps you stay on target. If you're just looking at a lifetime of diet, you're probably going to pack it in, or you start to give yourself a break too often because you're just like, well, I can't see the end of this. Oh, having a bad day, diet break. Having a bad day, diet break. It becomes, you know, too often to get results. So generally somewhere between sort of maybe 4, 8 or 12 weeks, simple way of looking at it. And last but not least, something that's, again, getting a little bit more serious is some people find they get in a calorie deficit and things just aren't happening. And it's typically, it tends to be a bit of a female thing as well, because a lot of females have done crazy diets and they're almost trying to always be in a calorie deficit. I'm scared of any kind of body fat. I'm just going to live in a calorie deficit until I can't tolerate it anymore. Now, if you find yourself in that position where basically let's say you do your calorie count, you go, oh, I only eat like 900 calories a day. and then we do your calories where you should be, and it should be 1200. You go, hold on a minute, you're telling me I need 1200 to lose body fat, but I'm eating 900 and I'm not losing body fat. That is a key sign that you've done too much dieting, you've been in a deficit for too long, and now your body has adapted, your metabolic rate has slowed down, the hormones have changed a little bit. Your body's almost trying to protect itself. So literally, you don't eat yourself. Okay, so you're not sort of burning, you know, breaking down loads of muscle, breaking down all sorts of tissue. It's a protective thing. So what you may need to do, and this is something that people find very hard to accept sometimes, is we need to first up your calories to get you into kind of normal zone. Once your body has then gone, okay, it's adapting, it sort of comes back to normal, the machine starts cranking up, then we can create a deficit again. So it's almost like, it seems like a few steps backward, but it allows you to go forwards. So if we take our example where we're having 900 calories a day, and we should be at 1200, or maybe 1500 as maintenance, what we're gonna do is say, right, for week one, we go to 1000 calories per day. Week two, we're gonna go to 1100 per day. Then 1,200, 300, 400. So we get up to that maintenance level of 1,500 calories. Once you've done that for a week or two, you should find that then we can start to create a deficit. And now the deficit that wasn't working starts working. It's almost like by magic. So that's quite a good way of doing it, where you're sort of building up your calories, you're training hard, trying to build some muscle, build some strength, do what you need to do in the gym, but we're just upping the calories a little bit at a time. Don't recommend you go from 900 straight to 1500, because again, mentally it's like, oh my God, I'm eating so much. But also, you're probably not in a position to be able to eat that much. We want you to be there, but if your metabolic rate has slowed down and then now you're ramping up the calories, you can start to gain body fat, which obviously we don't want. And this is where this sort of, where when you go too low on your calories and then you binge, that's also what happens. You know, you put in all this, you're torturing yourself to not eat many calories when you just can't stick it for that long. Then you binge and your body goes, oh, right, good. Storage time. So we've got to coax yourself into it. And this is why, again, we need to find the right. Okay, what is right for you? You know, a 1200 calorie diet may work for you, but just not in this situation. So somebody's saying that, not necessarily wrong, but had you not done all of these diets, had your metabolic rate not slowed down, that advice is good and it might be good for somebody else. But in this situation, we need to build you back up, get to that maintenance level, and then we can start to create a more sensible calorie deficit, which will work. Okay, so I've run you through quite a few steps there. I'll go through them one more time, just step by step to recap what we said. Number one was our 7-day calorie count. Number two, or kind of at the same time as you do your calorie count, learn about protein, fat, and carbs. Where do you find these things if you're not sure already? Number three is getting that, I call it the approximate calorie target, based on either doing it with a spreadsheet like I've got where we factor in lifestyle, or to keep it simple, 22 calories per kilo of body weight, or 10 calories if you work in pounds. Calculate the protein you need, 2 to 2.5 grams per kilo or 1 gram per pound. How many meals per day do I want to eat? Create the plan based on that. Plan in a free meal. Then ask yourself questions. Ultimately, is this working? How you feel looking in the mirror is not really, it's important, but not necessarily an objective measure. So again, an accurate body fat scan will be really helpful for most people. And then we can think about little adaptations based on whether it is working or it's not. You may need a coach to help you through that if you're not kind of sure what's going wrong. And then we might look at slightly more advanced things like having higher carb days, or at least just having carbs before training and at no other times. That can work very well, what we call carb cycling, different ways of doing it. Think about a scheduled diet break. You know, how long am I doing this for? Give yourself that sort of end goal. Well, it's not really an end goal, it's just a pause is a better way of thinking about it, and then maybe carry on. And potentially we need to talk about what we call reverse dieting, where we build you back up, get everything cranking again, and then we can start to diet. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that. Make sure you save this podcast. You can run through that again, maybe go through it again and take some notes and write it out for yourself, and then go through those steps. Don't make it more complicated. Go through it, find the right for you, and I can pretty much guarantee that will work for you. So I hope you enjoyed this. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Also putting this up on YouTube, so go to Stormforce Fitness and subscribe there. And I'd love it if you could share this with anybody you think will find it useful so I can get out to more people. So thanks for tuning in, and I will see you on the next episode.